I want to close for about 5 minutes or so here with just a kind of an outline of missionary requirement, really, what God requires of us. I'm calling it missionary advance. Three simple points. There's missionary assurance, there's missionary action, and there's missionary agitation. You wonder what that's about. So here we go. Missionary assurance. I love this text in Revelation chapter 5. It gives the missionary an assurance. An assurance of what? Well, I can't read that. It's a little small, so I'm going to read it from here. It says this, "And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God." Now catch this. From every what? Tribe and language and people and nation. So can a missionary be assured that God is going to give fruit eventually? Maybe that missionary won't see it. But this says from every language. That's getting pretty specific. "And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." So you have this missionary assurance. A missionary can have confidence that salvation fruit will result in God's time. Once that happens, then the missionary in heaven then is going to be able to rejoice over that fruit forever. The missionary is assured. Some plant. This is how God describes it. Some water. But God will and does do what? But God gives the increase. So that is the missionary assurance. I read missionary biographies almost every night. And one I'm reading now is about Adoniram Judson, but this is about William Carey. William Carey got stirred up about missions, but nobody else had. He's considered the father of modern missions. Now there, I say no one else had. No one had officially really gotten anything going. And so he was trying to stir up the pastors locally there where he grew up and lived in England. And one of those pastors, John Ryland Sr., said to him, "Young man, sit down. When God pleases to convert the heathen, he will do so without your aid or mine." What do you think of that statement? Is that accurate? No. That is not accurate. And eventually, his son, John Ryland Jr., became one of the best friends of William Carey. Well, William Carey heard that. Did he sit down? No. He took action. And that's appropriate. Because in Acts chapter 13, you read about the early church. And they were praying about what to do. What kind of action should we take? They were praying. Evidently, they were asking it also, okay, what should we do and who should we send? And what was the answer? You remember? Maybe you can read it there. Okay, it does say it. Barnabas and Saul. He didn't send everyone, right? He didn't send all the leaders of that church. But he did send Barnabas and Saul. So they knew their responsibility and they prayed about who should go. They sent some of their leaders. God does need and use human instruments to convert the heathen. Do you believe that? Well, that's why he sent Paul and Barnabas. Listen to what it says in Romans. How shall they hear? Well, they can read about it on their phone. Well, God says they need a preacher. Now, obviously, they can read about it on their phone and hear about it. But God says in Romans 10, how shall they hear without a creature. So God uses missionary action. He tells us what that action should be. In Matthew 28, he says they need to go, they need to make disciples, they need to teach the word, they need to insist on obedience to the teaching. That's where a lot of times the failure happens. That's where we get syncretism. You know what syncretism is? That's where you mix things. It's where you mix false teaching and idolatry with Christianity, and that's so common in the world, including Japan. And then, this is an action, really. And I will be with you, he says, but he tells us that so we will draw power and encouragement and fellowship from that truth, right? We are to rely on Christ's presence and fellowship to maintain and to sustain us. And that really is the most important part for a missionary. Finally, missionary agitation. What am I meaning by that? Well, if we're to preach the gospel to every creature, then we've got to get stirred up. What does agitation mean? I'll give you that definition in just a minute. But Ryland urged inaction. Carey urged getting people stirred up. Carey was correct. God's people easily get settled in their own ease and need agitation. Here's the definition of what I'm talking about. The arousing of public concern about an issue and pressing for action on it. The arousing of public concern. That's why we're here today, trying to arouse you, trying to agitate you, okay? That has some very negative meanings too, but it's a positive thing understood properly. So we're thankful that William Carey did not sit down. John Ryland Sr. said, "Sit down, young man." We're thankful he did not, but he stood up to follow in the godly train. I'm having trouble reading that. In the godly train of men such as Paul and Barnabas and countless others. So the question then is something you'll have to answer for yourself. Where will you go? If we can help you with that, I'd be very glad to talk about options, maybe steps that you would need to take to get to that point. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for men like William Carey, who did not sit down. He stood up. He challenged those of his day to do something. They must do something. We need to do even more today as the population has increased dramatically. There's war, there are fightings, instability, hatred. We need to see you work. I pray that you would work in the hearts of all here, but there are some who really do need to take the next step in answer to the question, where will you go? So I ask that you would speak to those hearts in particular. Give them courage. Help them not to sit down. Help them to stand up. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.